This week, I actually got two different questions that were the same basic sugya, the same basic discussion, but two different iterations of the same point. And those questions are the following. There was a young man who is in the medical profession. He is just beginning his medical expertise. He just finished his medical school residency, and his parents asked him to administer a number of shots for him. Instead of making them go wherever it may be to get the shots, they wanted to know whether their son was able to do it. The son calls me up and he says, am I able to administer shots to my parents? Maybe there's some kind of prohibition. Maybe there's a problem. I then got another call from a dental hygienist, who said that they had the same thing. They are just starting out in the business, just starting out of the profession, and they are really not so comfortable doing work on other people. The parents said, well, why don't you start with us? We would be a great place to begin. So these are very important questions because they do come up. A third iteration that is also similar to this is what the poskim talk about, whether a child is allowed to give their parent a haircut, which you would say, what could potentially be the problem? So let's see. A haircut, right? What could be wrong? Sounds wonderful, but let us discuss all of this. It all comes back to Parshas Ki Tsetse. And what are we told in Parshas Ki Tsetse? The Torah says there, when somebody does a particular kind of Avera, and it's very limited to a subset of Averas in the Torah, Arba'im Yakenu. You have to give him 40 lashes. Arba'im Yakenu. Lo Yosef Pen Yosef HaKoso. You're not allowed to give any more than he deserves. So you can't give him 41, and you also can't give him less than he deserves. You have to give him exactly what he deserves. Now, what if you see that the person is going to die from the pain that they're going through, from the pain that they're enduring? The answer is, says the Gemara, we have to do a omed. We have to do an evaluation on each individual person to see how much more can they handle. If they can only handle 31, then we'll stop at 31. If they can handle more, then we do more or less. That's what the Torah says. But even the maximum amount that a person can handle, you would never hit them more than 39 malchus, as the Torah says, Arba'im Yakenu. Now the Rambam says, from this we learn, Asur la'adam lachbo bein ba'atzmo bein mechavero. If the Torah says you're not allowed to hit someone who has done something wrong and deserves to be hit, and the Torah says still you have to be careful not to hit them extra, says the Rambam, then certainly I'm not allowed to hit a person either myself or someone else. Now, what does that mean? Why can't I hit myself? I have a right to do whatever I want to myself. So the famous words of the Radvaz on that Rambam are that a person, ein nafsho shel adam kinyano, my life does not belong to me. I don't have a right to decide I want to take my life today, I want to hurt myself, I want to decide to damage my body. I don't have a right to do that. I have to treat my body as if it is the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, I have to look after it. There's a medrash, I didn't have a chance to find it today, but I once saw a medrash on Chumash. I think it's in the Medrash Rabbah, where it writes that a person who showers and a person who takes care of their body properly is basically taking care of the Ribono Shel Olam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of us. We are the representatives of the Ribono Shel Olam in the world. We are a chelek elokam mimal. When you take a shower, you're basically making sure that the Ribono Shel Olam's product looks good, it smells good, has a good hygiene. Amazing. You ever had kavana before you went into the shower? Why am I doing this? When I go into the shower, I go in because I want to feel good. When you go into the shower, think the reason why I'm doing it is because the Ribono Shel Olam created me. He wants me to look nice. Do you think he wants me to smell poorly? You think he wants me to have a poor hygiene? Of course not. So says the Rambam, you shouldn't be chovel bechavero, and you also shouldn't be chovel ba'atzmo. V'lo ha'chovel bevad. And it's not only if I go and I bludgeon someone. That's chavala, means you damage someone. Ela kol ha'make adam kasher miyisrael. If I hit another person, another Jew, and I hit him, bein katan, bein gadol, bein ish, bein isha, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, whether it's an adult, whether it's a child. And the Rambam here adds in words that don't seem to be from any source in the Gemara. The Rambam says, if I hit them, derech nitzayon, which means I'm doing it as an offensive hit, right? I'm doing it derech nitzayon, like I'm trying to hit the other person to try to punch them. Hareza over belosase, says the Rambam, you have violated a losase. Where does it come from? Says the Rambam, if we have a terrible chote who has to get malchus. Now, why am I calling him a terrible chote? Maybe he did something wrong. He made a mistake. The answer is no, that wouldn't warrant malchus. Malchus only happens when someone gave you hasra. Someone standing over you and saying, Shechter, if you do that, you're going to get 40 malchus. And I turn back to them and I say, really? Why am I going to get hit? What am I doing wrong? And they say, well, you're violating this and this pasuk. And if you do that, you're doing something against the Ribono Shel Olam himself. And I say, Afal pike nani yosa. I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. Then I get malchus. But it's only if it's betoch kedei dibur. It's only if they warn me right before I do it. So if I wait 5 minutes later, I won't get Malkus. It's almost impossible to get Malkus. In that case, says the Rambam, such a Rasha Marusha who's doing it just because they hate the Ribono Shel Olam, because they want to spite HaKadosh Baruch Hu, still the Torah says you're not allowed to hit them extra, says the Rambam. How does that bode well for us if we're talking about a regular person who's not such an Avarian, who's not so terrible? That's where we learn this halacha, that you're not allowed to hit anyone. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav discusses a point which today, if we would discuss it, we would get arrested for this. Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, back in the days, how did parents used to teach their children how to behave? They used to hit them. That's what they did. How did they teach you in school how to behave? They hit you. Now, you can't do that anymore. But says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he always wondered, how could it be that I'm allowed to hit a child? The Rambam says over here, Bein Katan, Bein Gadol, Bein Ish, Bein Isha, how are you allowed to do it? Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the answer is, if you look carefully in the words of the Rambam, he says, Derech Nitzayon. If I'm doing it because I want to hurt the other person. Here, when I'm doing it, it's really out of love. I'm doing it not because I want to hurt them. I'm doing it because I want to teach them. It's because I want to elevate them. I want to make sure that they understand. So that is with regard to Make Adam Meisrael. If you hit another human being, another Jew, then you have violated this halacha of Lo Yosef Pen Yosef La'akosa. Turn to Parshas Mishpatim. Actually, it shows up in our Parsha, where the Torah says there's an additional prohibition of Make Aviv V'Imo, somebody who hits his parents, not you hit somebody else, but if you hit the parents, Mos Yumas. So there we would say, Chovel Lachadero, if I hurt another person, that will be Arbaim Yakenu, you get Malkus. If over here we're talking about Make Aviv V'Imo, hitting a parent is Mos Yumas, you're going to get killed for that. Wow, that's very severe. But that's what the Torah says. Now, the Rambam there writes in Hilchos Mamrim, Hamake Aviv V'Imo Misasa B'Chenek. You are going to get chenek, shenemar, make aviv v'imo, mos yumas. So the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin has a question, has a shaila. When we say that make aviv v'imo deserves the death penalty for what he's done, ask the Gemara, what exactly does that mean? Are we talking about a person who hits their parent until they have external bleeding that comes out from the skin? Or do we say make aviv v'imo means even internal bleeding is also considered to be a problem, and that would also be punishable with misa, with chenek? That's the shaila that the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Yerushalmi have as well. How far do we take this concept of Make Aviv V'Imo Mos Yumas? Does it have to be to the point that they're actually going to bleed? Or if they get a black and blue mark, where we know there's bleeding underneath the surface of the skin, should we say that that would be a prohibition that would also bring them to be Chayiv Misa as well? What we learn from this is, either way, the Rambam writes that there are two separate Isurim. Isur number one is, we are not allowed to hit another Jew. Issur number two, which is certainly much more severe than the other category, is Make Aviv V'Imo, which will be punishable with Misa. A lot to talk about with regard to that, but we're not going to get into all the details of the Misa and the Chenek and why this and why that. It doesn't make a difference. What we need to know for now is there are two separate prohibitions that we find. Now, ask the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, now that we know that Make Aviv V'Imo is Mos Yumas, ask the Gemara, back in the days of the Gemara times, they used to do bloodletting all the time. It was assumed that that was supposed to be something that was very healthy. So we don't do it today, but that's what they did then. Ask the Gemara as follows. Ibayalahu ben mahu sheyakiz dam la'aviv. So they used to have probably long lines to wait for the phlebotomist to come and do the bloodletting. So now, my son became a phlebotomist. So I say, why should I wait online once a month to go to the office and have it taken care of? Can you just come to my house whenever it's convenient for you? I'm home, I'm retired already. Can you come to my house whenever you're available and do the bloodletting in the house? Why should I have to go out? Says the Gemara, Rav Masna Amar, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Rav Masna says, I don't understand. Let's look at this objectively. If somebody sees that a bloodletter shows up to a person's house and is doing the act of bloodletting, how would they view that? How would they categorize it? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Wonderful, it's great, you're helping someone. Aren't you doing the mitzvah of ahavta l'recha kamocha instead of making the person schlep out to the office? You're going to provide the service. Oh, it so happens that you're the son? Who cares that you're the child? The bottom line is, you're helping someone out. So ahavta l'recha kamocha wins the day, and therefore, Rav Masna is of the opinion, there's no room for any hesitation here. What's the question? Of course you'd be allowed to. Rav Dimi Bar Chama is not so sure about it, and he goes back and forth. So it seems, from the way the Gemara presents the issue, it seems that the Gemara tells us that there's nothing wrong at all. The Gemara says it would be v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. That's the greatest covenant you can give your parents, that you don't make them stand on line with everybody else. You take care of them. You do house calls. Amazing. Now here's the problem. The very next line in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we are told the following story. Rav, lo shavik le'le bere le mishka le silave. when he got a thorn stuck in his foot from walking on something that had thorns on it, he would not let his son come and remove it. But your son is a medical professional. He knows how to take it out, right? So he wouldn't let him do it. What does that seem to indicate? That the child is not allowed to medically treat the parent. Then the Gemara goes on to tell us a story about Marbrei de Ravina. Same thing, that when he got hurt, he wouldn't let his son do anything for him. So why not? What's the problem? So this is a very problematic Gemara, because after all, the Gemara first said that if a child wants to treat the parent, that would be v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. There's nothing better than that. On the other hand, the Gemara then brings these two stories of great Amoraim who refused to allow their children to provide medical care for them. So how do you understand what is the pshat in this Gemara? The Rishonim are bothered by that conflict that the Gemara has. Well, which one is it? The Gemara is saying two conflicting statements. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us the halacha is that it's okay. On the other hand, the Gemara then tells us two stories that it's not okay. So this is where all the Rishonim struggle to figure out which is the right line of the Gemara, or maybe these are two different scenarios that we have to understand, and from there we'll be able to extract what is halacha lemaisa relevant to us. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, Hamakiz dam la'aviv. If I do the bloodletting for my parent, Oshaya rofe, or I happen to be a doctor, v'chatach lo basar o aver, and my parent needs a procedure, an invasive procedure, so I go and I do it. Says the Rambam, Pater. Afal pishu pater, even though the Gemara says, v'after l'recha kamocha, your father needs a procedure, why not be the one to take care of him? Says the Rambam, l'chatchila lo yase. Even though you're allowed to do it, the Rambam says it's better not to do it. Or he says, if my father needs a thorn taken out from his skin, I should have someone else do it. Shema yase chabura. The concern is that maybe I'm going to end up making my parent bleed, and as a result of that, I will be in violation of the isser of makeh avivimo. The way Rav Asher Weiss once explained this to me is, I'm not going to make him bleed. I think this is the way he explained the Rambam. I'm not going to make him bleed as I'm taking it out. Of course, when you take a thorn out, it always bleeds. The concern is maybe I'm going to make them bleed extra, more than they had to bleed. So there's always a minimal amount of blood that's going to come out when you take a thorn out. There's always a minimal amount of blood that's going to happen when you do some kind of invasive procedure. But maybe you're going to end up doing something a little bit more than what was absolutely required. Now, normally a doctor doesn't mind so much, doesn't really matter. And I, as the patient, don't care so much either. So I lost a little bit more blood, a little less. Doesn't make a difference. But here, where every drop of blood is critical, because if you did more than you had to, you're already in violation of an iser, says the Rambam, not a good idea. Don't get involved. Now, says the Rambam, Bamed dvar mamurim. So why does the Rambam say that this would be permissible? Because the Gemara said it's allowed. But then he says we should try not to do it because maybe you're going to make a chamura. Bamed dvar mamurim, says the Rambam, when do we say that this whole story is the setup? Kisheyesham acher la'asos. It's only if I have another alternative that my parent could go to this other doctor and get the services. If I'm the only one who could take the thorn out of the foot, or I'm the only one who's able to provide this medical care for my parent, hare hey mitzdarna, my father or my mother is in pain, what am I going to say? I'm sorry, I love you, but I can't help you. What do you mean you can't help him? You're my parent. Of course you should. Hare ze makiz v'chotech kifi mashi yushu lasas. Of course, in that situation, says the Rambam, you should make sure to do anything that is required for the parent's best of health. So that's the way the Rambam explains, basically, he doesn't go through the Gemara, but that's the way he explains this problem of the setup of the Gemara. The Gemara says it's mutter. What does the Gemara mean it's mutter? It's mutter when there's nobody else available. Why did Rav and Ravina, why did they not let their children take the thorn out? Because there was a nurse right down the block, so they said, I'll just wait for the neighbor to come over. Not a big deal. There's no reason for you to get involved in this medical procedure. After all, there's a concern that maybe there's going to be extra blood that is going to be drawn unnecessarily. That is the way the Rambam gets rid of this issue in the Gemara. Contrary to that, the Beis Yosef in Yerodeah, in Siman Reish Mem Aleph, why is this in Yerodeah? Because that's where Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em is. So the Beis Yosef in Yerodeah quotes the Rif and the Rush who say, no, this Gemara has a machlokas. The first opinion of the Gemara is, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, wonderful, you should do the procedure on your parents, help them out as much as you can. The second opinion of the Gemara is, no. What do you mean? They're your parents. Don't you have a concern? Maka avivimo. And therefore, he says, the maskana of the Gemara is that even if you're doing it for the parents' benefit, you would not be allowed to do so. Now, of course, if the parents' life is in danger, you would do whatever needs to be done. But they say that the opinion of the Rif and the Rush are, you have to look at the flow of the Gemara. The sequence of the Gemara is, the bottom line that we're told is, that there are two stories, a Maisa Rav from Great Amoraim, where they did not allow their children to care for them. And therefore, we assume that is the bottom line halacha, and That is the way they explain the Stira in the Gemara. Yeah?
Why does the Gemara first address the natural progression in the Pasuk? The Pasuk first says that if somebody, two people, hit each other with the fist or the rock,
mm-hmm.
and then it says, in Maka Avivimo, Mos Shumas. The context, the Chiddush of the Pasuk is that, Achabur and Chayimisa. But the context, especially with the Pasuk before it, is talking about when they're fighting.
When they're fighting. That's so, what the Rambam says, Nitzayon.
Right, so shouldn't it be? Why does the Gemara even...
The whole thing shouldn't even apply.
Yeah.
Well, very often we have fragmented psukim, and the first half of the pasuk has nothing to do with the second half.
Right, but why did the Gemara come out to be like, oh yeah, of course, it's only talking about when they're fighting, but they like before, of course, what's the pasuk?
So that's what's very surprising, because the Rambam is stating the obvious. The Rambam says, of course, the pasuk didn't mean this. And that's what the Rambam says, Nitzayon is not a problem. But that's not what, and not everyone agrees to that. Chazal don't say that. Since Chazal don't say, that's why it's hard to say. Now, there's a novel approach that's suggested in the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch writes that when we're talking about here, when we say that Make Aviv Ima Mos Yumas, that's only below Rishuso. The only time I'm going to be chayev for hitting my parent is when the parent didn't give me permission to hit them. But let's say my parent says, let's have a wrestling match. I don't know which parent would say such a thing. Let's go have a wrestling. Let's go, you know, boxing. Let's go have a good time. Let's go paintball shooting. And we're going to then, paintball shooting is a very, what? Oh, so it says the Minchas Chinuch, if my parent tells me, no, come, bring it on. I'm friends. Let's be friends. Let's go play some activity. Let's do something. He says that would be fine. I, when the Gemara asks, am I allowed to do the bloodletting? What's the Gemara asking? Are you allowed to do the bloodletting? So he says, no, that Gemara is talking about when my parent doesn't let me. My parent is resisting. Your parent is at a stage of life where they don't fully understand that this is a healthy thing for them to do. I'm the medical professional. I walk into the house and I say, hey, it's the first of the month. Time to do bloodletting. My parents said, get away from me. And then I restrain them and I have to do what I have to do. And I feel very uncomfortable, but I'm doing the right thing. That's where the Gemara has the shaila, whether I'm doing v'ahavta l'recha kamocha or I'm doing something that's terrible. But says the Minchas Chinuch, if my parent gives me the right to do it, my parent invites me into the house and says, please do the procedure for me, then of course I'm allowed to do it. There's no shaila in the first place. That's what he writes. This is a tremendous chiddush that is rejected by many of the Achronim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach talks about it in a tshuva as well, but many of the Achronim reject this and they say, what do you mean? What would be the basis of saying that that would be permissible? The basis of that would be, well, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that Melech Shemal Chala Kavodo, if let's say the President of the United States who represents all of us, you know, decides, yeah, you know, you don't have to call me President Biden. You can call me Joe. You can call me by my first name. It's not respectful. So does he have a right to be Mochel on his Kavod? The respectful thing to do is you represent a country. We have to give you kavod, not because of who you are or what you've done. It doesn't make a difference. You are the representative of the country. So says the Gemara, Melech Shemachal HaKavodo, Ein Kavod HaMachal. He doesn't have a right to be mochal on his kavod because the kavod that we give him has nothing to do with him. It has to do with the position that he holds, which is representative of millions of people. So Ein Kavod HaMachal. But what about when you have an Av Shemachal HaKavodo? A child wakes up in the morning, a parent is sitting on the couch, and the child sees the parent sitting there and says, okay, I'm going to go make you a coffee. The parent says, I really don't want a coffee now. No, I'm going to go make you a coffee. I can make it myself. So what? I don't need you. I don't need you to do it. I'm very capable. I like to make my own coffee. So does a parent have a right to be mochel on their kavod? Says the Torah. Says the Gemara, of course. Why?
It's his kavod.
It's his kavod. He can define what's considered to be respectful. You bend down when your parent is, you know, fully able on their own. You say, let me tie your shoes for you. I don't want you to tie my shoes for me. I'm going to tie my own shoes. When I get to a stage of life and you need to tie my shoes, we'll talk then. But right now, I don't need your help. Is that a kavod to my parent to shove it down their throat and say, I'm going to tie your shoes and don't take the mitzvah away from me? The answer is, they define what kavod means. And av shemachal kavodo, kavodo machal, he has a right to be mochal. So, on those examples that I gave, it makes sense. Says the Minchas Chinuch, you're going to take it 1,000 steps further and say, my parent is allowed to be mochel not only on the kavod of making the coffee, tying the shoes, making the beds and everything else, picking them up from the airport, but my parent is going to be mochel also. Come punch me. Come hit me. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman. What?
You're not allowed to do it to yourself. How could you let someone else do it?
Yeah. So that's besides the point. That's what many of the Achronim talk about as well. But even fundamentally, when we're talking about the issue of Kibbut Avaim, those two examples are not the same. Not giving my parent a service, that is the kavod that my parent is able to be mochel on. Going and effectively hitting my parent and injuring them, is not something that a parent has a right to be mochel on. As you very correctly stated, nobody has a right to be mochel on that. But beyond that, a parent certainly does not have the right to do this. This major discussion in the Rishonim of how to understand the Gemara. Again, the Gemara seems to say that there's, maybe it's v'haftal recha kamocha, which would be amazing, or maybe it's something that is an isur daraisa of makah aviv imo, mos yumas. The Gemara here trickles down into a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Rama. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to be machmer, like the opinion of the Rif, which is that even b'deleka acher, even when there is no other professional around, I'm not able to help my parent in such a way because I'm going to cause or inflict harm or pain. I'm going to make them bleed, and that would be a problem. And the Rama says, no, leka acher, shari, if there's no other doctor available, then that would be permissible. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and I'll read you the words. He says, hayakotz tachav la'aviv, if you have a parent who has a thorn that is stuck in their foot, lo yitzienu shema yavo lasas lo chabura. You're not allowed to take it out because maybe the parent is going to bleed in the process. Afal pi shemachav in the refuah. Even though I'm not doing it to hurt my parent, I'm doing it only with the intention of being helpful to them. Says the Rama, bamed varamamurim b'shiyeh sham acher la'asos. When do we say that you should not treat your parent medically? It's only when I have another option that's readily available. However, he says, avalim ein sham acher la'asos. If I don't have somebody else, whom it's done, my parents crying out in pain, then go help them. Of course you should help them. That's what the Rama says. Now, there are some Svardusha Achronim, I think the Ben Ishchai in one of his tshuvas, one of the Svardusha Achronim writes, the Mechaber never meant to argue on the Rama, he just didn't give all the details of the case. He says the general heading is, I shouldn't treat my parents. And of course he agrees to the Rama that if there's nobody else around, you should help them. That's not clear. That's not clear at all. If you read the Shulchan Aruch, it seems the Shulchan Aruch is taking a hardline approach that we should not be involved in the medical care of our parents. And the Rama for Ashkenazim seems to be Mekel, and he says, like the Rambam says, that this would be something that is permissible b'deleka acher. Now here's the million-dollar question. That is a very vague definition. How do you determine, how do you establish what it means, leka acher? So what does it mean that there's no other doctor available? It means I have to go around in my town? If there's nobody around in the village, in the town? Does it mean in the state? Does it mean in the country? What about if the other one's going to charge them and their son is not going to charge them? As far as I'm concerned, there's nobody else available because I'm not interested in paying. My son is a neurosurgeon. So I'm going to go to the guy that I'm going to have to take out a mortgage on my house to go pay him for the surgery when my own son can do it for free? That doesn't make sense. So as far as I'm concerned, that's called leka acher. There's nobody else. Or I'm only comfortable with my own child doing the surgery. My child is a doctor and I trust my child more than anybody else. So as far as I'm concerned, leka acher. Is that a fair determination? Is that the right way to define the term of leka acher? And that's where it becomes very murky. That's where it becomes very, very uncomfortable because it's not exactly clear. The Gesher HaChaim, Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukachinsky, writes in a sefer on Hilchos Avelos. Hilchos Avelos also talks about Bikur Cholim and a doctor doing his job. So here he throws it in and he says that he thinks if one doctor is going to charge money, the neurosurgeon is going to charge $50,000 for the surgery, but you have a son who does the same thing and you want to get it for free, that's called leka acher. As far as I'm concerned, I don't take anybody else into account because I don't want to pay the money. So as far as I see it, there's nobody else here and therefore I can have my son. So the Gesher HaChaim writes this whole thing and then he says, he shalach tshuva zu, he sent his tshuva about allowing a child to treat the parent when the other surgeon is going to charge money and he won't. He says, I sent my tshuva to see what do the other rabbis in Yerushalayim have to say. He says, he got an answer from three of them. Who are the three of them? Listen to what he says. The first one is, Shtei hama'oros ha'gedolim hama'irim la'oretz. Two of them that responded to me were great gedolim who light up the world. Who are they? Rav Herzog, who's the Rav HaRashi la'Eretz Yisrael. Rav Herzog was a great Talmud Chacham. And then the second one, he says, Yibadu l'chaim tov maruchim, is Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, Av Bezdin of Yerushalayim. Okay? Then he says, who's the third person that I sent it to? You may not know him, he says, but he's a great person also. Mikochav Hanoga HaChadash. He is a shining star that's coming out. Nobody knows him yet. But I decided to send him my tshuva to see what he says. And he responded also. Who's he? Hagon Reb Shlomo Zalman Orabach Shlita. So now, 100 years later, we all know Reb Shlomo Zalman. But at the time, he says, I met this young man, and he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he's very proficient in halacha. And I sent him the shaila, and he also responded to me. And he was excited to see that Reb Shlomo Zalman's response agreed with his position. Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Nishmas Avraham, who quotes a lot of things from Shlomo Zalman, Dr. Abraham. He wrote that Shlomo Zalman thought this was a good svara. If my child is not going to charge me, and the other doctor is going to charge me, then that's considered, as far as I'm concerned, leka acher, and that would be allowed. What? So Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank disagreed, and he said, what are you talking about? That's not called leka acher. Every other patient pays for the services, so that would not be enough to knock out any other option. My father told me, when I spoke to him about this once, I'll take your question in a minute, so my father told me a few things. Number one, he said, naturally, whenever I'm going for a procedure, I'm nervous. I'm going to be much calmer if my child is the one doing the procedure. It goes in both directions. Some people may be more nervous. Other people may be more calm. Sometimes they have a child who offers their services, but I don't want my child's services because there are other people who are much better than you, right? Happens. So if you're in a situation where you're not comfortable going to someone else and you're only comfortable going to your child, then my father felt that's also called leka acher. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't trust other surgeons. I would trust my son. I would trust my child because that's my child. So that would be something that he felt to be leka acher, because the emotional feeling that a person has would be something that would certainly be a determining factor. The Aruch HaShulchan throws in another factor to think about, and he says, if my child is known to be a tremendous expert and the other surgeons are considered to be okay but not as great of a reputation, then as far as I'm concerned, did you ever hear of somebody in our neighborhood who goes for a surgery and doesn't have the top doctor in NYU? Right? Everyone in our surgery goes, I got the top doctor in Sloan Kettering. Is there anybody who uses anyone underneath that? Not in our community, right? So here, as far as I'm concerned, my child is the best doctor. There's nobody else who compares to my child, says the Aruch HaShulchan. That's how you feel, that your child actually has a greater medical expertise than others. Then, of course, that's also considered to be leka acher. My father did tell me that he heard over the years that the way to do this is that, I don't know, he said he has heard that people make a deal, that you have two doctors in the same field, and they say to each other, when your parents are at a stage of life when they're going to need my help, I'll take care of them for no charge. And when my parents are at a stage of life, you'll take care of them, whatever. You make a deal back and forth, and that's a way to save each of you from running into this potential issue. Now, again, that makes sense if it's something that is reasonable, if it's something that's actually going to be a possibility. And if my parents will be comfortable with that arrangement. Sometimes a parent will not be comfortable with that, and therefore there's not much to talk about. It's important to point out that even if that is the case, when you're dealing with your in-laws, there is no isra of makke aviv imo. Of course, we have a mitzvah to be mechabed our in-laws as well, but it's not as severe as our parents. So when the Torah says makke aviv imo mos yumas, in-laws were never included in that prohibition. And therefore, if you have a child who is a doctor who has the ability to treat their in-laws, they certainly shouldn't hesitate, because in-laws were never included in that original prohibition that that we were discussing. So when it comes to medical procedures, we spoke about that. When it comes to, let's say, an eye doctor, I don't think there's any concern in the first place because nobody bleeds at the eye doctor. That usually doesn't happen. When it comes to a dental hygienist, you bleed every single time you go. So what's the halacha there? So that also is a question. When is leka acher? Is Rav Asher Weiss, I think, once wrote a tshuva about it. I don't have it with me now, but I think he discusses this in one of his tshuva svarim. But what about a haircut? So the poskim say that a haircut, how often do you bleed when you get a haircut? Usually not. Usually you just get a haircut. So because it's not so common that you're going to bleed when you get a haircut, so that is why, unless you have a broken machine, so that is why most poskim say that unless you have very sensitive skin and it's going to crack and every time you get a haircut it bleeds, then you can assume that that's a davar she'eino mischavei, and even if a person ends up bleeding, that's certainly not the intention and it's certainly not something that I expected. It doesn't happen normally, and that would be something that I really don't have to be concerned about. That I was called about this week again, whether a parent is able to get a haircut by their child and save a lot of money from going to the barber. The answer is yes, I am able to do that because most people do not bleed every time they have some kind of haircut. Question, yeah.
Two questions. Is the child in the reverse allowed to say,